Can we turn together this evening to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7? This evening we want to look at something of the present and something with regard to the future and how it affects each one of us. Verse 13, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now coming over to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. And reading from verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now we want to read about those two resurrections, and so we'll come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And we're reading about the two resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. Now firstly, the resurrection of life. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now we want to read of the other resurrection, and we'll come over to the book of Revelation. Revelation and chapter 20. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's the resurrection of life. "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now we'll come down to verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them," now we're not speaking of those that took part in the first resurrection, we're now speaking of the world and the nations of the world. "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And God will bless to us the reading of His precious word this evening. Now, perhaps some of you who are not familiar with the Word of God might be just a little confused at this moment. But as we progress through the Gospel meeting this evening, we trust that you'll be able to understand and understand clearly, and I will endeavour to speak very clearly so as even the children can understand with regard to the present and with regard to the future. Because the Bible, you know, is a wonderful book, and it's revealed it all to us. It's just there for us to go and to read and to understand. You know, there's many people today and they say they can't understand the Bible. But you know, you ask them if they've read the Bible and no, they've never read the Bible. And so we need to read the Bible and God will help us to understand it. Now, we're all moving through this scene and we know that at the end of our life, there's death. Not one of us can pass through this life, not one of us can stop for one moment the cold hand of death that will come upon us at some stage or another in life. Whether we be young or whether we be old. I think perhaps on the first occasion that I preached the gospel here after coming back from Colombia, I told you about three people that were standing by the roadside, just waiting to hop onto a vehicle that was passing by. We call them service vehicles over there. They're just like a Jeep or a four-wheel drive, and they're out in the country, and they'll stop and pick up anyone that's along the way, and each one pays their individual fare to get to your destination. There were three people waiting on the side of the road, waiting for one of these vehicles. And one of those was just a young boy, about the age of these boys here. Another was a lady, and another young lady, and another was a man. And there they were waiting. They were going into the nearest city. They were going in to cash the gold that they'd obtained from mining, and without a doubt to have a good time and everything else. A vehicle came around the corner with too much speed, didn't take the corner, and the whole three of them were killed. And so we see that death comes not only to the older folk, but death can claim your life and mine at whatever age. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And so we need to pay attention, and especially children too. We need to be ready so that when the time comes, we know that we'll be absent from this body and we'll be present with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And the Bible is the only book that can give us that assurance. And that's what we've been singing about together this evening, and that's what we've been reading together in the Word of God, the first two readings. We have here the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to those that were around about Him, and they're words that we can, each one of us tonight, take to ourselves, and we need to heed the warnings of the Lord. You know, if we were in everyday life, and there's a Joe Blow there, and he's saying, look, you know, don't go down that road, there's some danger down there. And then there comes along a policeman and he says, don't go down there, there's danger down there. Well, we might take notice of Joe Blow, but then again we mightn't. But we take notice of the policeman, because he's an authority. He's a man that commands respect, and one that we should. And so when we are thinking about spiritual things, we have not the policeman, but we have the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He's one that should command our respect. And we should listen to what He has to say to us in His Word, and we should be obedient to it. Now the Lord says to those that were round about Him, and He says to each one of us tonight, He says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, it's the Lord speaking, and the Lord knows the end of these two ways. Perhaps you're still a little confused about this verse. Well, it's speaking in a form, using everyday experiences so as that we can understand. And the Lord is using the example of two ways. A broad way, and it's going down. And there's a narrow way, and it's going upward. In this broad way, there's a big gate there. And that gate's wide enough and it's open. And it's there for people to go through. And there on the other way, there's just a narrow gate. And it's just wide enough for a person to fit through, is the example. And so there's the two ways, and there's the two different gates, and there's the two different destinies. The Lord says the one broad road that's going down, it's going down to destruction. And then there's the narrow road that's going up, and it's going up to life. It's going up to heaven. It's going up to the presence of God. But not only does the Lord stop there, he goes on to explain a little more. He says, on that broad way that's going down, he says, there's many that's going in it that way. And you know, friend, that's the way where mankind tonight, in all his sin and in all his pleasure seeking, that's the way he's going. He's going on that down way, that downward way that leadeth to destruction. That way is a way that's wide open. And there's room enough in that way for everything that you like to name. There's room for it there. There's room for entertainment, and there's room for sport, and there's room for gambling, and there's room for drinking, and there's room for music, and there's room for all the pleasures of this world. And Satan, he's the one that has control of that way, and he can accommodate every person in this world, and he's just happy to have them marching down that way. We see it's a downward way. But friend, what Satan doesn't reveal is that that way, the end of that way, is the way of death, the way of destruction, the way of separation from the presence of God. But then there's another way. There's a way that's leading up to heaven. And it's a narrow way. And it says that there's only a few that are entering in and going by that way. In Colombia we use charts to help us with the preaching of the gospel from time to time. And we love to depict this narrow way and this narrow gate. We love to depict this gate right at the foot of the cross. And the narrow path leads from the cross and it leads upward to heaven. My friend, this evening, we want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, he opened up that narrow gate, and he opened up the way whereby we might go to heaven. And the Lord wants us to go to heaven. You see, it's a straight or a narrow gate, and it's termed as such because it's a way whereby we can just enter by ourselves. Those of you that have read the book of Pilgrim's Progress, you remember the great load that was on the back. A pilgrim, and he couldn't enter in through the gate. He had to leave that great load behind, and it rolled away. You know, we can't enter in through that gate on our way to heaven with any of our own righteousness, with any of our own good works, with any of our own things that we think might help us just on that way to heaven. No, it's just a narrow gate, just a gate that's big enough to be able to fit through to get to heaven. Reminds me of when the Lord said about the camel passing through the eye of the needle. From books that I've read, the eye of the needle, it was just a very small gate there in the wall of Jerusalem. And for the camel to pass through that gate after the other gates in the city had been closed, it was necessary to take all the load off of the camel. And for the camel to kneel down. And for the camel just to be able to get through that gate. And then they'd pass the load through the other side and place the camel again. Just big enough for the camel. And that's like the road to heaven. It's just big enough for you and I to get through. We don't need and we can't bring anything with us. Because you see, there at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid the price in full for our salvation. He suffered for our sin. He shed his own life's precious blood. And that door is wide open. That's wide open to each one in our meeting room here this evening. That you can leave that broad road that's leading down to destruction, and that you can start on the narrow way that leads to life and to heaven. What does the Lord say? He says, enter ye in at the straight or in the narrow gate. You see, the Lord knows the destruction He knows the punishment that's ahead of those that reject him and those that continue on the broad way. So he's saying, enter ye in at that narrow way. But then when we read of this way over in Luke's Gospel, as Luke writes to us, there's no need to turn to the verse, I'll read it to you. We see here in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, and the Lord says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to do it. You see, it takes something of effort on our part. Now when I say that carefully, because I've already said that it's not with any of our own works. But why I say it takes effort on our part, it's because Satan doesn't want us to enter. And Satan will put all the obstacles that he can in our way, so as we don't enter. And you know, Satan knows us just as well as we know ourselves. And he'll put those obstacles in the way so as we won't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and start on our way for heaven tonight. He brings so many things to the mind. He doesn't want us to enter. But the Lord says, you strive to enter. You labour fervently to enter via that way. And why does he say that? Why should the Lord give a warning like that? Because he goes on to say, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Many of you shall seek to enter and shall not be able. Now, it would be extremely sad tonight to think of someone in our meeting who's heard the message of the gospel, someone that's had brought before them how that they can be saved and how that they can have their sin forgiven and how that they can leave that old life and that broad way that's going down to destruction and that they can go to heaven and have the assurance of it. Would be sad for one tonight to just continue on that way, rejecting Christ as Saviour, to one day have a desire to enter, but they won't be able to. We have the example, don't we, the parable that the Lord spoke with regard to the wedding. And there were the 10 virgins and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. And whilst they waited, their lights burnt low and so they had to have more oil, and some of them were prepared and had taken oil and others hadn't. And so whilst the ones that didn't have oil had gone away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready, those that were prepared, entered into the wedding with the bridegroom. Now that tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's coming again. And when he comes, those that are ready will enter in with him. But then we think of the ones that went to buy. It says that they came along and they found the door shut and they began to knock on the door and saying, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. And the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, here we have these ones, and they're exactly the same thing. They're wanting to enter, but they won't be able to enter. What does Scripture tell us? Scripture tells us that today is the day of God's salvation. Today is the accepted time, or is it a time when men and women can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour? Now the decision rests with us. The Lord has left here in his word a clear instruction and an example, very simple to us, how that we can be saved, how that we can enter in by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But if we don't enter, we'll continue on that way, and the day might come when we'll want to enter, and you'll hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. Here it says in verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, reminding us of when the day of God's salvation is past, it says, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, I know not whence ye are. Then they shall begin to say, and they'll start to say, we haven't got time to read it, but they'll start to say all the good things that they've done. And perhaps even in the name of Christ, the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. So friend, tonight the first thing I want you to understand very clearly is that we need to make a decision. Whether we're going to continue on that broad road that leads us to destruction, or whether tonight you're going to trust Jesus Christ as Saviour and start on the narrow road which leads to life. Believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that's very simple, isn't it? The Lord's saying now, if you've heard my word, you believe. And in believing, you'll pass from death unto life. And friend, salvation isn't something that's complicated. It's not something that's beyond you. God has placed his salvation in the person of Jesus Christ at the hands of each one of us and within the grasp of each one of us, if we're but willing to trust him. The Lord went on to say, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When it speaks here of the dead shall hear his voice, it's not speaking about those that are out there in the cemetery. It's speaking about those that are dead in their sins. Because that's how God sees mankind when he's still in his sin, as being dead. He's not alive to the things of God. And so it says here, the Lord says here, that the hour is coming, and now is. Now is. This very evening, friend, that if the Lord's speaking to you and you respond to his voice, well then, you'll receive eternal life. They that hear shall live. But if you close your ears tonight to the voice of the Lord calling to you tenderly and lovingly that you might be saved, if you close your ears, well then it will be to hear those words depart. Now, there we have this present life. There's something that's going to take place at any moment according to the word of God, and that's going to have a tremendous effect on this world. And that is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't time this evening, but God's word tells us clearly and shows us clearly that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And at whatever moment he's going to step forth to the clouds, and he's going to call all those that have trusted in him home to be forever with himself. There'll be those of every nation and every tongue, and there'll be the great and there'll be the small, and there'll be the rich and the poor, and we'll all be there together with the Lord. Now at that time will occur the first of these resurrections that we've read about tonight. The Lord said that the hour is coming when those that are in the grave shall hear the voice, his voice, and shall come forth. And then the Lord speaks of two different resurrections: the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Now between these two resurrections, there's a period of over 1,000 years. And there's a great difference between these two resurrections. The first resurrection, the resurrection of life, that's each one that has died trusting Christ as Saviour, and their body has been placed there in that cemetery. In the day when the Lord shall come, that body shall be raised and shall be caught up with us, and together we'll meet the Lord in the air. That's what we've read together here in Corinthians. Now it's a mystery. And God's word says it's a mystery. That means to say perhaps we don't understand how it's going to be possible. But God's word says it, and we know that soon it's going to take place. We shall all be changed. Now Paul was writing to the Christians, and all the Christians will be changed. These old bodies are going to be changed. And Paul here, he speaks something about the change that's going to take place. Where are we? Here we are. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. This body of ours that's corruptible. You know, we all feel the aches and pains, don't we? And there's the lines that start to come and the hair that starts to recede, and And so it goes on and on. These bodies of ours, they're corruptible. They're corrupting away. God gave us our bodies and they'll only last us for a few years. But the body that we're going to receive when the Lord comes, it's going to be an incorruptible body. And it says it's sown in dishonor. And it's going to be raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. And it's raised in power. And it's sown a natural body and it'll be raised a spiritual body. You'll notice here, it was interesting to me last night as reading this, the word sown, it is sown. And you know, when we attend a funeral and a body is there placed in the grave, God's word speaks to it as being sown, like seed that's sown, waiting for the day of harvest. And that's the thought here. That body that's placed in the grave, it's sown there. There's the day of harvest coming when that body's going to be taken out of the grave. It's going to be changed. It's going to be given a glorious body, a spiritual body. And those of us that are alive and remain, we're all going to be caught up to be forever with the Lord. What a glorious day that will be, to be with the Lord and in His presence forevermore. No more sadness, no more sickness, no more sorrow. We'll be with Him and like Him, and that forevermore. And that's what God wants for each one of us. Each person here tonight, each person in the town of Bundaberg, in this city, each person in the whole world, God wants that you would be with Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. And that's why He provided salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why He came, that's why He died, that's why He shed His precious blood. And now all that trust in Him can have that assurance. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And goes on to say, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get victory through in any other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to spend the last few moments in speaking with regard to the other resurrection, because it's very important. And you know, if you don't want to leave that broad way that's going down to destruction, well, this is just the passage for you tonight, friend. And you need to understand what's before you. You see, if you leave that path and you go on the narrow way, well, then we've just read about the resurrection that awaits those that die in Christ. And those of us that remain, we're going to be caught up to be forever with the Lord. What a joyful anticipation. But we come to the other resurrection. We see here, there has passed the 7 years of tribulation in this world. After the coming of the Lord for His own, there's going to be a 7 year period of tribulation in this world. A time such as this world has never known before and shall never know after. A time of terrible trials. A time of problems. But then we read that this 7 year period is split into two sections. And the latter 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. Now God's word tells us that during this time, that men will seek to die. They won't be able. They'll cry out to the rocks to cover them from the wrath of God. Such will be the terrible times that there'll be in this world. To be able to live in this world, it will be to be obedient to the rulers of this system of this world, to receive their mark. Because without the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or won't be able to sell. And so we see the time goes on, the end of that period. And then we see 1,000 years when Christ shall reign in this world. Christ comes again before that, the end of those 7 years. And then we see Christ reigning for 1,000 years. Those of us that have trusted in Christ will reign with Him. But then at the end of those 1,000 years, we are coming to this time and we see the devil that deceived them. You know, Satan's never changed his ways, his tactics. The devil that deceived them. You know, during those 1,000 years, the devil's going to be chained up in the great abyss. And he's going to be there, but at the end of those 1,000 years, he's going to be released. And he's going to go forth again, and he's going to deceive the nations of the world. And they're all going to gather together against God. God's word tells us that this fire comes down from heaven and will devour them. And then it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So we see the end of the one, the deceiver of Satan, the one that wants you there on that broad way. There's his end, in the lake of fire, to be tormented day and night forever. But then we see the men that are going to rise into preeminence during the period of the 7 years of tribulation, and we see that they're there too. But let's read on, I want to explain on so as you can understand. We then see that there's a great white throne set in space. And there's one sitting upon it, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it says, from his face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then we see the dead, small and great, stand before God. All those that haven't trusted Christ as Saviour, there'll be that second resurrection. And God's word tells us it's a resurrection of condemnation, of judgment. And there's the dead, small and great, standing before God. It says the books were opened, and the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. It says the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. A resurrection of judgment. Now it says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, your name's placed in the book of life. All the record of your past sins, your past life, is all blotted out. And God won't remember it again. Your name's recorded there in heaven in the book of life. But if you don't trust Him, your name isn't there. You see, the book of life is the final test. There'll be many in that day, and they will seek to justify themselves. They will seek to say all manner of different things. But the test is the name in the book of life? Friend, is your name in the book of life this evening? If your life was to be cut off this very evening, perhaps going home from this gospel meeting, an accident or something else, and your life cut off, to be buried, to await this resurrection, when you stand before that great white throne judgment, and there, when the book is open, the book of life, will your name be there? Oh friend, it's very solemn. It's something that each one of us need to pay attention to. It's something that each one of us need to be certain of. Because we can see here, and God just puts this in His Word so as we can understand it. It says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. Now, I've already read what this place is, haven't we? It's a place of torment. A place of torment. And it says that Satan will be there and he'll be tormented day and night forever. If you don't trust Christ as Saviour and you die without Him, you'll go to that place to suffer day and night forever. Our friend this evening, God in His love and His mercy, He's provided a way whereby you might be saved. Whereby you might have your name written there in the book of life in heaven. But it all depends with you. God has done all that's possible. He's provided salvation at such a tremendous cost in the person of His Son. And now it's up to us what we'll do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Friend, what will you do with Him tonight? I can't decide for you, unfortunately. Because if I could decide for you, your name would be already in the book of life. But I can't. I decided for myself there as a young boy of 12 years of age when I trusted Christ as Saviour. You tonight, irrespective of your age, you too can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour and have your name written in heaven. Remember again the words of the Lord as He's urging men and women and boys and girls to trust in Him. Strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. Because many will seek to enter and won't be able. Our friend this evening, turn and seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Today He's waiting with outstretched arms of mercy, of love to receive you, to welcome you, to forgive you your sin and your past life, whatever it might be. Place your name there in the book of life. But if you reject Him, in the future it will be to be condemned to the lake of fire. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.